Blog Talk Radio.
Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Hallelujah. Abiyah, in the name of our Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Savior and Redeemer to us all, Father, thank you. First and foremost, for the gift of life, for another day, Father. Thank you for this Shabbat, this time that you set apart for us, Father, to commune with us, to grow us, and just to show us love, Father. Father, we ask that you forgive us for our sins that we committed knowingly and unknowingly, Father. We ask, Father, that we learn from our sins, Father. We learn from our mistakes and grow from them. And when we go to the right or to the left, that you chastise us and bring us back onto your path and your loving kindness and all your mercies, Father. Chastise us. Father, we thank you for protecting us throughout the week, through all our struggles and our hardships, Father. Thank you for giving us the strength to endure, Father. Thank you for leading us and guiding us, opening up your word to us, revealing some of your word to us and some of your secrets to us, Father. We ask that you open up our hearts and our minds, Father, that we receive your word and that we be willing vessels to do your word, Father. Father, we ask that you watch over all the elderly, all the sick, all who are suffering mentally, physically, spiritually. Give them your peace. Give them your shalom, Father. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon-coming King. Amen. Kol Shiva.
Shabbat shalom, family.
Shabbat shalom.
Everyone had a blessed week, great week, hopefully. And if not, today's Shabbat. Today is a discussion. There is one thing I know I will put on my mind to discuss. But before we get to that, they have anything they want to discuss. You know, any thoughts or things that they noticed throughout the week and news or anything like that that they want to bring forth and discuss. As always, that's cool.
I have something I like to share.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, for those who are listening, those who are members of the FBI, particularly, and whosoever else may be listening, I would just encourage people to endure. You know, sometimes we may hear teaching that at the moment we don't understand.
Uh-huh.
Many times, the life of Messiah, he spoke to this Talmud, this Jew, and ask the question. Still don't understand, but he never stopped talking to me. One of the things that he promised prior to his ascension, as a matter of fact, prior to the execution itself, that it would get him to go away, and how he would send the Holy Spirit, or the Comforter, as he called it, and how the Holy Spirit would lead him to all truth, guide him, in addition to opening up to understand the many things that he taught. So, if something is being taught that you don't understand at the moment, hold back, because the Creator said, if you continue in my word, you are my Talmudim and me, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall be. So I just encourage everybody to hold on and understand and come. And I say that because there are many things that Rabbi talks about. Sometimes we believe we get new revelation because the Creator has now opened our understanding to something. When you go back and listen to something the Rabbi taught years ago, and you realize he already brought it out. But it's just took that long for you to get to that understanding. Right? It's not that the Creator is just revealing it to you. He can reveal it to you. But it's now, at this point in your life, in your spirit, now you get it. So be patient, okay? I just want to encourage everybody. Whatever you don't understand, I will bring understanding if you continue. That's all.
Case in point, myself. You know, a while ago, we were talking about what a quarrel was. And I didn't understand it at the time, but it says, the Torah is his word. And then it says, the Torah is the seal. And the Torah is this. And the Torah is that. And in my mind, I'm thinking, how can the Torah be all these things at one time? But then when you sit down and you realize, when you keep on going on, you realize it is. Because that's where you find all these different things. You know, even when, and you know, one of the things that Abba has led me to greatly appreciate is how he leads us. You know, because before we get into that, does anybody have anything else they want to tune the tape? All right. So, how Abba leads us is amazing how he leads us. You know, and it really is, it's a really good feeling to know that. Because how he leads us, a lot of people don't get. You know, to think that when you talk about Torah, and now when we talk about Torah, we understand that it's his teachings, and it's from Genesis to Revelations, and it's everything that he taught. Whatever Abba taught, that's his Torah. So, by definition of the word, you know, that's what the word means: teaching, instructions. You know, that's what it means. So it's not just the first five books. You know, there were teachings in Isaiah. There were teachings in Jeremiah. There were teachings in Malachi. There was teachings that Shaul and them did. You know, it's all of it, encompassing. And I say that to say this. I was on Facebook, and a question was put out. I'm going to go to it, and this is what I wanted to discuss. Because it was I'm gonna read some of the comments. There's a couple things I actually wanted to discuss from it. Now, the question is. And what they did was they put it in the form of a poll. which is what is one thing I didn't agree with. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But the question is this. Is it a sin for a woman to teach a man? So that was the question that was put out, and they put it in the form of a poll. I'm going to read some of the...
That question is really broad.
Okay. Go ahead, brother. Let's start from there.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, that question is really broad because it's not being specific
mm-hmm.
in regards to the capacity in which a woman is teaching.
Mm-hmm. One of the other issues, one of the things Israel don't get. Now, when I read some of these comments, you're going to see that, right? And what you're going to see is how confused Israel really is. They really are confused out there. And it's like, all right, that was the question. One of the answers is experiences has no gender. Another one is in truth, then yes. If she's in the truth and want her man to learn, then no, it's not. Another answer is, I would allow my woman to share wisdom because I'm attracted to it from a woman, but instructing is a masculine role. So then they have this one, another answer. No, not at all. Torah does not say it is a sin. Somebody replied to her. There's a couple of replies here. It says, yes, it does. The woman does not teach the word of, it says, the Lord. Ecclesiastes 4:5. For thou, it says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house, Elohim, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not what they do. For they consider not that they do evil. Next reply. The question was it a sin? In other words, is there a law against it? Please quote the sin using the law. She replies back, the whole Bible is the law. Is your king teaching you right? It tells you what to do from beginning to end. So somebody understands that the whole Bible is taught, but not many. She comes back and says, no, the law is Torah. Torah is the first five books. Now, I'm not here to debate. It was a question posed by another Moray to see how misled our people are about even what is Torah. I read Torah in both English and Hebrew. I am not sitting with my eyes closed waiting for anyone to teach me. Anyone to teach me the rules left by my father, that's what fools do. Then she gives a little thing here, the little explanation or definition of what Torah is. And the definition is by Judaism. And that's one of the things that me and my brother was talking about over here. We have to start questioning where we getting these ideas from. Because Judaism says the first five books of Torah. That's what he said. But Torah itself means teachings. So you're saying the first five books is where all the instructions are? It's not. Because even when we look in the song, one of the songs is to instruct.
Amen.
It's instructions within the songs. So you can't just say when there's instructions outside of the first five books. You know? So he says, they go back again. He says, I know what the Torah is, so only regard to the Torah when reading about the law then. Comes back, that's the law. That's the book of the law given to Moshe. We can use the other scripture, but it's clear where the law is. The law is in Torah, the instructions given to Moshe. Well, I'm not arguing that queen. I'm just saying outside the Torah, there are more laws and commandments given to us by the Most High. I'm not arguing that either, beloved, but there is nothing that can be added to the law. It can only be expounded upon.
Amen.
So if it's not in the law in the first place, it cannot all of a sudden become a law. Comes back.
Can you give an example?
No, she didn't give an example. He says, so they're agreeing. He's agreeing with that point. So then what would we consider it? Extra orders or more statutes and commandments? Reply, for my understanding, just scripture. Nothing can be added to the law. It already has the statutes given to Moshe by the Father, and it's already commandments. The rest just expound or explain what is already written. Then somebody else chimes in. And now you're looking at about four people in this conversation now. It says, like the legislative branch makes the laws, and the judges, judiciary branch, expound upon the laws by interpretation and rulings, ruling precedents. They don't change the law, but give context to the law. Now, fifth person comes in. Yahushua, Paul, and everybody else that was subject, everybody else was subject to Torah, no different than you and I. Now, rather, they all taught it is questionable, but nothing can be added or taken away from it. Now, the same guy, he starts his own thread. It says, it's not a good look if the woman is without a covering, just like Judge Deborah implied. But if she have a covering, then I'm down for it. I like to see my Isha breaking them scriptures down. Another man. My mom taught me the laws and drove me with them every time I was disobedient. Nope. If there's no man to teach the men, someone has to. Why would women carry a child that's ordained in their bosom if they couldn't teach? The mother is the first teacher. Prove me wrong, I'll wait. Okay. This guy gives a scripture. My son, hear the instructions of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains around thy neck. That's in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 through 9. That one's kind of long. I'm going to leave that one alone. Another one chimes in. A woman is permitted to teach. However, she is not permitted to teach an assembly of Elohim. So y'all kind of get the point. Israel is in confusion. A bunch of one question. It was 111 votes at the time. And the way they look at the Torah is in question, but back to what the brother said. The question was so vague that you're going to get those types of answers. You know? What capacity is she teaching them? Somebody gave the example of Hilkiah. And when they went down there and seen it, when they went down there and seen Huldah about it. But they're not looking at the whole story. They're not looking at the fact that it was the priest and the king, and they had lost the Torah, and the Torah had been lost for all those years, and it just happened to be a woman keeping the laws of the land, keeping the Torah. It just happened to be that way. It just happened to be that way. Yeah, they're not looking at the whole story. So they take little bits and pieces and say, okay, well, according to this, a woman can't teach. According to that, a woman can't teach. Then they went to the New Testament. This guy, this is the kind of long one. I ain't going to read the whole thing. He says, the only scripture I ever hear is, by suffer a woman not to teach, nor to usurp the authority of a man, but to be in silence.
He says that's regarding the church or the congregation. So I'm going to leave the rest of that alone. But she went into Ephesians. I'm sorry, she has another little explanation down here. She said, I would say no, because we teach the children of the family, our spouses, if they are coming to the truth, we are still under our spouse for covering and correction. So she's saying no. But one question shouldn't have all those many different answers. The word said that we're supposed to have the same mind, same judgments. And we clearly don't have that. You know, when you look at all these different ways, you're right. Sometimes if a man is coming in and the woman is already in, she is going to teach a man the ways of the Most High. Right? She's going to teach him what she knows. Right? Then you have, you know, the other example of a woman talking to a child, which I really don't equate a woman is going to teach a child. You're not talking about a man. There's a difference from a woman teaching their children and a woman teaching a man. You do have an example of Hilda teaching the priests at that time. But look at the state that Israel was in. You know, at that time, they had lost the law. So you have some type of exceptions here, exceptions to the rule, but a woman ain't supposed to teach the man. At the very end of the day, he's supposed to carry that home to the wife, right? So now you have the whole thing where women think that their voices aren't being heard, right? Yes, sir.
See, what you're saying, this is the result of that spirit of feminine.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has these opinions. It's not that the Creator don't have a place for women. The question is, are you going to do, as a woman, how the Creator says to do it? I'd like to read a passage.
Go ahead.
This is coming from Brother Kessler. And this is in chapter 3, 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 23. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he says that, many people want to read that, they want to assume conversation, talking. So when you get into the definition, it's not what it's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's talking about how to adjust.
Okay.
But then it goes on to say, while they behold your chaste conversation with them. So the husband is watching this wife and how she's doing, how she's moving about.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what the Creator says.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody wants to add something else to it. And like y'all are out there, that's a broad question. And see what that does. You know, and for that to be such a broad question, that was the intention. Now, I'm not saying that's the reason why the person put it out there. He or she may not be aware of how it was being moved, but that's why the adversary wanted to put it out
mm-hmm.
there. Should a woman teach a man? Depends on the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it depends, you know. And what people like to do, one of the things we don't want to do, we don't want to put the Creator in a box. So he gives us examples, called up for example, where a group of men went to talk to this woman. Now, there was a prophet. Anybody remember the prophet that was on the scene at the time? There was a prophet. It was what they referred to as a major prophet on the scene at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So as Bible students, when we get to that point, why did the Creator send these men to that woman?
Mm-hmm.
When there was this major prophet on the scene instead of going to him, you know? So, and all of that, that's where, as the Bible students, we're supposed to be, have to ask certain questions. And when you get an opportunity, look up the word hold. What does that even mean?
It's weasel.
See?
What? Weasel.
It's
weasel.
Why did the Creator send these men to this woman who has the name of an unclean animal? What's the other lesson there, in other words? You see? So there's a lot of things we have to consider when it comes to this
Right.
And what I mean is not putting the cater in the box. One example, somebody may say, well, let's say a sister is out and about in the community, right? And a brother has his interest, okay? And they have a question. Let's say, and I'm going to use this as an example as a eye catcher. Let's say they have a necklace of a high or something like that, and the brother sees that and said, ask about the question. First, what's the first thing that sister's supposed to do? Well, if she's not covered and she's about to talk about that word, guess what she's going to do? She's going to cover. Guess what? What is he witnessing when she do that? She's witnessing his behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if anything be said, one of the things, if you're really interested in learning about this, maybe I can direct you to my husband,
right.
And then that the woman has a husband.
Right.
Or if the woman doesn't have a husband, maybe I can direct you to one of the brothers in the congregation. Because, now going back to something else, to avoid getting into a situation, you don't want to engage that brother too much.
Mm-hmm.
See, because what we may be thinking, well, this brother may just want to know about the word. Well, possibly there may be another motive.
Mm-hmm.
So to alleviate that, it's best for the woman, it's not, hey, answer the question, well, this is a tie, means life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But anything beyond that, if you'd like to be, if you're interested in what I am or would like to be, you know, more information, let me direct you to one of the men of the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's how that should go.
Mm-hmm.
But that's for the simple fact, if she's going to talk about the word and going through the motions of covering before she even starts getting into the word, that's changed behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, and are the women doing what the Creator told them to do?
Mm-hmm.
When you pray, when you prophesy, do that. That's a sign. That's a mark that anybody that's around that's listening to what you say, they say, well, why do you have to put that on it? Because that's what the word says.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But anyway, go ahead, Akeem.
But in addition to all that, let's say it gets to the point where women think their voices aren't heard. Now, how is a woman's voice heard? Now, you think about this. When Israel was first set up, they had masters of 10, masters of 100, masters of thousands. Let's say you, a woman, and their husband are talking. She brings up a point that the husband didn't think about. Because Sarah brought up a point, and Yahweh said to Abraham, listen to your wife. You know, you got to get rid of that one. So there's going to be times when you should listen to your wife. You have to. Because she's the opposite of you. She's going to see things that you don't see within that word. She's going to look at that word a different way than you.
Right.
And she's supposed to bring out the points that you missed.
Right.
So she brings out that you didn't see in that perspective. Let's put it that way. So she brings up a point to her husband. Her husband saying, you know what? I never thought of that. Let's go talk to the leaders of 10. So he talks to the leaders of 10. The leaders of 10 say, I never thought of that. Let's talk to the leaders of 100. Now that woman's voice is being heard because of the way that Israel was supposed to be set up. You know? Women are saying their voices ain't being heard, but then again, Israel isn't set up the way Israel is supposed to be set up. You know? Yes, sir.
Take you back in on that. If any Israelite ever says that, it's because if she has a husband, she ain't teaching her right.
Mm.
Or she ain't reading certain things. When those five daughters of that man who didn't have any sons
mm-hmm.
had an issue, their voice was heard.
That's right.
They went right to Moshe. Moshe went to the Creator, and the Creator made a rule in the garden to
her.
So it's not that a woman can't say things. If there's a reason where something needs to be said, it's not, sit down, shut up, keep in my clothes. That's not what the Creator is talking about.
That's right.
I mean, many times the Creator encourages us to talk. You know who my cupbearer is? My wife. Number one. That's my wife. We talk. And like you said, we
are two different individuals. When you say on, shoppers on, guess what? You get that when you discuss the word with your wife.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first person you're going to talk to. The next people after that, that you're going to discuss with is your children.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Son or daughter. And then outside of the household, because everything begins in the household, that's when you start dealing with the congregation as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
You see? When he gives the Shema and goes through all the, when you rise up, when you lie down, when you go out, when you come in, he says, when you're supposed to sit at that, you're supposed to, at some point, teach your family. You are discussing that word.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that the female, the wives, or the daughter sit there and say nothing. No, that's how he moves.
Right.
That's how he always moves. But, now, going back to what the brother said, the context of the question was so broad. Here, no. It doesn't happen that way.
Right.
He gave very specific instructions on how the order in the congregation is supposed to be. Outside of here, you can have open dialogue with the sister. But what the sister shouldn't do, you let that. No, it should never get to that point, because at now what you're doing, you are attempting to usurp authority
mm-hmm.
over the man, and that's a no-no. That's why I say if anything is going to be shared with that man, it has to be done in humility. Same thing. If you deal with a leader, it's not that a person can't come to a leader and tell them something that they need to do. He says you will treat them like a father. That's what there's a certain amount of respect or reverence that has to be shown to them.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you can't go to them and say, hey, brother, you know, you need to watch this or watch that, but you're going to do it in a respectful way.
Mm-hmm.
But what one of the problems is, what women want to be, I'm not going to say all women, some women, they want to be able to go back and forth and debate. No, you're not supposed to do that. Now, that's when you get to that point, and if you look up the word, you usurp authority. As a matter of fact, you can go, but I'm going to look that up. And that means something.
It does.
Now, he says, this is in Brother Shaul. He wrote this letter to Brother Timothy. He says, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be a doctor. Now, when he says to usurp authority over, that's one word, authenteo. And when you look it up, it says to act of oneself. And it says figuratively to dominate.
Uh-huh.
As a woman, what you don't want to do, you don't want to get into this mindset of dominating, because now you are the order. That's not what they created and said. Me and my wife, we can sit down, we can discuss the word, but at the point when she feels as though she's going to dominate and become overbearing or usurp authority,
mm-hmm.
now you just stepped out of the place the Creator put you in.
Mm-hmm.
Not the man put you in, that's the other piece. The Creator is the one who established the order, not man.
Right.
He's the one who put that in place, not us. So as servants or followers of the Most High, we're supposed to fall in line with whatever that divine order is.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a problem with the divine order, it's not with the man, it's with the Creator. It ain't nothing you can do to upset that.
That's right.
You got the answer for it. You know, it's not that I don't want women's voices to be heard. Because you have throughout the history, they had a class. Women are the boss. Why you got women? There are standout women in the scriptures. Positively and negatively.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we want to focus more on the positive one. You know, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
He has some issues. He has some words. Abba said, listen to your wife.
Mm-hmm.
If a woman has the mindset that is walking and living this way of life, your voice can't be heard, it's because their husband ain't teaching them right or they ain't reading it right.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have several examples where a woman's voice was heard, and Abba said, you know what, Abraham, listen to your wife.
That's right.
He said that. So what do you do with that? I mean, there's a balance.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, go ahead.
I mean, and to think about one of the things we always talk about, the virtuous woman. You know, she's at the gate. She's bringing her husband on out there doing her business and this, that, and another. He suffers no loss. The husband is happy that his woman is out there doing this thing. You know, she's bringing him on. So it's not that women don't have a voice. Like the brother said, husband ain't teaching them right.
They're not reading it right. Also, Israel isn't set up the way John Q. Public, and that's what I mean about the poll.
Right.
John Q. Public shouldn't have a bearing on this like
Absolutely not.
You know? What's supposed to happen is if this comes up, the elders get together, they bring forth a ruler, you know? But John Q. Public still can be heard, you know? But like you said, you go to the leader of 10 and you bring it forth. You go to the leader of 100 and you bring it forth. That's how your voice is heard. Everybody doesn't get to chime in,
Amen.
You know, because that's what it is. And like the brother said, that's why the question was so broad.
Right.
So everybody can get to chime in. Everybody can get the answer. The word says Yahweh ain't the author of confusion.
Amen.
And that's what you see reading down this stream. Reading down their thread. That's all you see is how confused Israel is.
Amen.
They confuse them. Okay, are we talking about the first 5 books, or are we talking about the whole Torah? Okay, are we? Okay, you got to give scripture. It was about 3 scriptures, because that was the whole thing. If you say yeah, give a scripture. If you say no, give a scripture. It was about 3 or 4 scriptures and like 40 answers. You know, everybody's just giving their opinion. That's what they're doing, giving their opinion. Well, I think this. Well, my mother taught me, and this, that, and another. And that's what you got going on. But the word say, I mean, one, you never answer the question.
Right.
And the word say, he gives us different examples.
Right.
You know? So you have to look at it at a case-by-case basis.
Exactly.
This is how it's done. When we think about the word, and he says, the invisible things of Elohim are clearly made visible by what, I mean, clearly manifest by the visible, by what we see.
Amen.
We're supposed to learn about Yahweh by living.
Exactly.
That's how we learn about Yahweh, living. And we study the earth, and we study everything that we see, and we learn about the Most High. We can't take that away. You can't take that part away.
Amen.
But what everybody want to do is take that part away and get so spiritual and look at all these pineal glands and get so mystified with it that it takes away what he's giving.
Right.
You know, he said, I gave this world to teach you about me.
Exactly.
But you want to look all up into the heavens and this, that, and another, places where you can't reach.
Exactly.
And you know nothing about.
Amen.
To learn about him. When he's right here, right among us. You know? But that's the problem. And that's the problem is all these opinions. What do you think? What do you think? He didn't. Nobody said the Torah says this. You know? Then you have people in here had an issue with the New Testament. And what they did, they quoted Timothy. They quoted Paul when he said, I suffer a woman not to teach this, that, and another. But what they did, they left out the next part, which says, thus saith the law.
What do you do with that?
He says the law says for the woman not to usurp the authority, not to teach and to stay silent. The law says that. So if you're saying that the New Testament is a mess and it's false, it's questionable, and this, that, and another, well, why aren't you looking into why he said these things?
Amen.
And if he said it in the law, where is it in the law?
Exactly.
What are you going to say, I think?
Well, based on that, which is another point, somebody in the thread mentioned how the foundation, which we agree with that,
mm-hmm.
the foundation of what we need to do has been given through Moshe. Everything else is built upon that.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, you are expounding upon that. So for Brother Shaul to say, as thus saith the law, the Torah, now, Bible student, where in the world did he say that?
Mm-hmm.
Because what Brother Shaul did, he's expounding on something that the Torah does too.
Right.
So where are he getting that from? Now, that's what we search, which we know, I mean, we know where it comes from. It's in Bereshit 3, when he's dealing with the woman,
mm-hmm.
and he gave that instruction to her.
Mm-hmm.
That's where those teachings are drawn from.
That's right. You know, but Book of Hebrews, chapter 5, starting at verse 12 to 14. says, For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of Elohim, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong drink. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, but he is obeyed. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Israel needs to start over. Take that stuff that you... If it's not lining up with the Torah, don't hold on to it. That's also... Because in essence, that's what Abba wants from us. He says, hear all things, hold fast to that which is good. You separate the meat from the bone, you separate the wheat from the chaff, you make a distinction. Because all people aren't telling you all good things. You know, when we read this stuff, we read, while I was going through it, I'm sitting up here looking at it, I'm like, this is nothing but confusion. Nothing but confusion. That's all you're thinking. You can't take a wide range question like that. And nobody ever said that that's a broad question. They didn't even realize it. You know, they just got duped into a whole bunch of opinions. You know, nobody realized the scope of that question. And when you look at through the Torah, you know, number one, if you look through just the first five books, and that's your limit of it, is there spots where women teach men? As far as that goes, if that's just your scope of it,
what do you do?
So you're going to have an opinion based on just that. But then when you broaden it out, you see certain spots where women start to teach men. Women have shown men different things. So, okay, is it now yes and no? Or what's going on? People need to break a question down. You know, like what the brother did. The first thing he said, well, that's a very broad question. You know? Well, it's not specific. And you're right. It wasn't very specific. And you know why? It was broadened so everybody can get their little opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk about in a specific instance, and that's what Paul was talking about a lot of times, specific
right.
instances.
Exactly.
Look, a woman... No, she can't come up behind this pulpit up
right.
in the assembly and teach and expound and this, that. No, she can't do that, you know. But just by general conversation, husbands love your wives, women submit to your husbands. A man is going to learn stuff from a woman. A woman is going to learn stuff from a man just from basic interactions.
Amen.
You know, when you have a child, you learn stuff about your child just by interacting with them. They're not expounding nothing on them.
Right.
You know, they just bouncing up and down. You know, my son had the little habit where he would go stinky in the corner. He would go hide, go stinky in the corner. So I know if I didn't see him for like 2 seconds, you know, that's where he was. You go find the corner, that's where you find Darius, taking care of business in the corner. You know, but that's what he said. You learn that about Charles just by, he didn't say, Dad, I'm going into the corner, take care of this. No. You learned that by observing your child,
Amen.
You know, and it's the same thing with your spouse or whoever, you know, your spouse, it should be your spouse, or when you're dating your soon-to-be spouse. Pay attention, you know, ask the questions, pay attention, learn, and you're going to learn from them, you know. But that was the one thing that I would put on my mind, you know, that was the one thing that Abba put on my mind, and you know, Israel is in a state of confusion,
mm-hmm.
and order needs to be restored.
Amen.
And the problem is that nobody wants to go with the order that Abba gave. You know, everybody wants to set themselves up as leader. Everybody wants to be okay, but this, that, and another. If we have issues, it's because we fail to do the Torah. In some way, shape, or form. That's how I see things. You know, if there's beef between brother and sister, it's because you failed to do the Torah in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
If there's any issue regarding anything, the Torah covers it, and you failed to do it in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
You know? Yes, sir.
One of the points that the Moray made last night was a really good point, and I think Israel as a whole has lost sight of. And the point that I'm referring to is when we all refer to ourselves as this camp or that camp.
Mm-hmm.
That falls in line with what Brother Shaul was talking
mm-hmm.
about when somebody said, well, I am of Apollo,
mm-hmm.
or I'm of Kepha, or I'm of Shaul. You know, and then he asked the question, is Mashiach divided?
Right.
You know? Until we start to recognize that we are all Israel, and see, and where the problem is going to come is opinion, and based on these opinions, now they've spurred a lot of doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things that people have been following and practicing are not strictly based on Torah, but based on opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody, for example, you have Israelites who out there, and I'm assuming that's starting from the question started from an Israelite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you have Israelites out there who may not adhere or believe, like I said, the New Testament is a part of the instructions of Most High God.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that, we're going to put that to the side. And because you have these examples in the Old Testament where a woman can do this, we're going to take it upon ourselves and say that it's okay for a woman to do that. You just missed out.
Mm-hmm.
You just missed out on another portion of the Creator's revelation, and because of your opinion, now you actually end up. Because
mm-hmm.
one of the things that Israel is going to come to realize, you can't, he said it this way. He said that your righteousness to me
mm-hmm.
is like a filthy tampon. That's what he said.
That's right.
Now, do you know what that is? No, and like you mentioned, experience. I was a dentist,
mm-hmm.
I had to clean women's bathrooms. Men don't know about this unless you've been in a woman's bathroom. Women's stalls don't just have a toilet in there. Women's stalls have a little compartment with a little bag in there where they can put their disposable bag.
Mm-hmm.
So as a janitor, it's your task to clean all of that. So until you experience that, you don't really know. Because I never seen that. I grew up in a household of women and never seen that because they made sure that I never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until I was a janitor and I had to do that I really had that experience. But now I know why he said that,
mm-hmm.
because you experienced that. And when you look at it and the idea of it, it's like, wow, when we try to configure a way to come before the Creator, and this is what we believe, this is what he's saying. It's like this to me whenever you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow, dude, what did we take from that verse? Eliyah, when he on the thing. Israel, how long are you going to keep going back and forth between these opinions?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he asked them. Israel in the same state today.
That's right.
The opinions have brought. It's not just Baal or Yahweh like it was during that time. It's Baal or Yahweh or a whole bunch of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Israel's still jumping back and forth. And what they don't have the mindset of being that one nation that the Most High was for.
Right.
You see?
Right.
The other thing.
But
go ahead.
We have to allow the Holy Spirit to take care of things for us. We have to learn to listen to Abba. Because he says, I will not have you ignorant of Satan's devices. Well, he's not going to have us ignorant to falsehood. He's not going to have us ignorant to anything that's outside of him, you know. If we experience that, it's for that reason, for experience. Because we have to experience good and evil. We have to get that. We have to know what good is. We have to know what evil is. But it's for the experience. He's not going to keep you in that darkness. He's not going to keep you in wrongdoing. You know, but we really have to rely on Abba, and we're not doing that. You know, as a nation, we're not doing that. It's just way too many opinions I mean, that's how we know we're not doing that. It's just all these opinions. Well, I think this, I think that. My camp says this. It's just way too many of them. You know, any founder we have, I mean, just think about in Baltimore. Baltimore has an explosion of Hebrew Israelites right now. And none of us got together. Even when we, from my understanding, I didn't go to either one of the Israel in the parks. But I heard they had different discussions up there.
Right.
And I'm not sure how many ties were made, but we ain't tied now. Where they at? You know, did anybody come see eye to eye? Or did everybody bring their opinion with them?
Exactly.
You know, what happened? Because when we get together and it's time to talk about these things, you would think that that's the time where, okay, bonding could happen. No, it ain't happening because everybody has an opinion. When we went down to Virginia, we had all those, we was in that huge room full of folks. And no. Went down the Eastern Shore, full of folks. No. Jersey, here. No. Because everybody has an opinion. Everybody thinks something outside of what's here. You know, when they're seeing it differently, and they're seeing it, okay, well, because I see it this way, I can't deal with you. Okay, because I see it this way, I can't deal with you. Okay, some stuff we just not going to deal with. We can't deal with outright falsehood like Jesus and this, that, and that. We can't. That's off the table. But some things is like what Yaakov said. We might come to see it given time, or they might come to see it given time. We just have to wait for Abba to open our eyes. You know, I remember the brother was talking about, he talked to another brother about polytheism. He was stuck on, he was just stuck on that word, basically. But the word teaches about God being full. And that's polytheism. When you talk, when you, the El word, Elohim, that's plural. That's not El, singular. It's plural. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. It's constantly in a plural state.
Amen.
Even when Yahushua was on the earth, our testimony is not of ourselves. He talked about himself in a plural state.
Amen.
You know? So what's the problem? He's not telling you anything that's outside of the word, but you're stuck on a word that you don't like, that you got you feel some way about when it all boils down to it. Right? Opinion, doctrine.
Lack of understanding.
Yeah.
Not knowing how the Creator works.
But let's say he would have kept on talking to you.
Exactly.
You know, because eventually he shut down. Let's say he kept on talking, and now, oh, that's what he means. Now you didn't gain a soul. You know, he didn't bore himself in, and there is no friction. You know, how Israel was supposed to be, because now you see, it's like what Paul was saying. Let the same mind be in you. Let the same judgments be in you. But we, a lot of times, we don't give each other time enough to do that. It's, okay, I disagree at this point, and that's it, off the table. You know, some, like I said, some stuff is just flat out wrong. And if you're going to hold on to that, that's just straight up a doctrine of devils, like the word say, a doctrine of demons. You can't deal with that. But some things takes time. You know, it takes time. And we can't just, you know, from my understanding, we don't cut people off. Most of the time, they end up not talking to us.
Right.
You know. But,
I think a lot of times when people get disappointed, it's because of certain things that we're not changing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think one of those things, even among Hebrews, if it ain't the fact that some people believe Jesus is okay to say, they just don't accept the Messiah at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like the majority of the people that broke away, it has something to do with the Messiah in some way, shape, or form.
Mm.
Either it's because of the name, or it's because of the fact that we believe in a first coming, as opposed to people waiting for the, you know, the conquering king being the first coming.
Mm-hmm.
But it's rooted in the Messiah itself.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Well, like you said, I mean, Jesus is not the name, so why why in the world are we going to be accepting that?
That's right.
Some things are just unacceptable.
Right. Some things just, you know.
And it's also unacceptable to not accept the Messiah at all.
That's right.
You know,
hey, I mean, that right there, they the deal breakers. So, I mean, it's the truth. There's no way, shape, or form about me. You know. So you know, when you really think about it, Israel is still in that state of confusion. We can't fall into that state of confusion, you know. So again, when we get questions like this, or if somebody gives actual question like that, get them real specific, you know, because as the brother pointed out, that question was asked for a reason, you know. He's trying to bring doubt within. He's trying to find a way in. So he starts broad and then works small. And you know, most of the time what they're trying to do is trap you with your words. You know, so that's what you have to do. We have to be mindful of who we're talking to, number one, you know, and their intentions. You know. Two, mindful of how things are, how we present a thing, you know, because you don't want to say something and say, oh, well, what about this thing? Oh, well, you said, and it's like, okay, now you're on this stuff, and, you know, where something's possibly good could have came out, they're going to work to unravel it, not they. Hasatan is going to work to unravel it, you know. But this open discussion, we got some petition.
And it's still the same thing. I believe that's something that the children wanted us to be aware of. Although Israel is supposed to be a nation, they will be a nation divided.
Mm.
Because we do that.
Mm-hmm.
Israel is divided.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and after that division, I mean, they never fully came back together.
Right.
You know, even what we're going through now in Nehemiah had other Israelites who got an issue with other Israelites building a wall.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have that division.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's a reality that oftentimes we overlook. Israel was going to be divided. Now, some people believe that the solution to that is just put past the doctrinal differences and still work together. Well, technically speaking, we're still not united.
Right.
You know, and one example, we had a little I don't know what to call that. We went to years ago. Had a Muslim, a Christian, a Jew. I was there, and somebody from down, you know, Florida,
side, hot luck.
You know, right. You know, everybody saying, you know, and that was the thing. We're going to get together like we're bringing a potluck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to bring this, I'm going to bring that. But see, everybody who claims to be an Israelite already does that. And the point that the kid made was the fact that when I go to work, I have a task that needs to be accomplished. I don't care what they believe as far as their religion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm there to do a job. I go there and do my job. But is that, can I really count on these people wherever I work at as being a family and mentor? Of course not.
Because
At the end of the day, whatever we get together to do is done, I'm going to go back to being my Muslim. I'm going back to being my atheist. I'm going back to being whatever.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Like you mentioned, we're supposed to have the same mind, same justice. He said, there's one Torah to him that is homeborn and to the stranger that's sojourning.
Mm-hmm.
It's one. So why do everybody have all different belief systems about this one word?
Right.
Because they're not being led, not everybody, being led by the faith.
Amen. And, you know, it's like you were saying, man, even when you think about that, you know, just lost that thought. Oh, when you're working with that Muslim, you're working with that atheist and this, that, and another, yeah, y'all working to get that common task, but let you talk about your gods on at work. See, that's like the I don't want to say stickler or something like that, but who you serve differentiates you, you know. There's always going to be a differentiation of who you serve, you know. Y'all still be working that common task and this, that, and another, but his glory is for Allah, your glory is for Yahweh, his glory is for whoever. Somebody got glory for themselves or whatever. You know, who are you bringing that glory to? You know, even though you're working and doing the same task, who are you bringing that glory? Who are you glorying for? You know? But anything that y'all want to talk about? That was the main thing that, you know, I went across. I tried to, main thing on anybody's mind about anything. No. Another thing, you know, because reading that, the whole point was we don't want that here. You know, we don't want that confusion here. We don't want 13, 14, 15 opinions on one topic. You know, if there's anybody need to talk or don't understand, so we're going to say, you know, any brother in here is highly approachable. You know, we smile, we don't fight, we don't bark or nothing like that. If you're not understanding something, talk to somebody. You know, again, those who are married, talk to your husbands. Those who ain't married, talk to one of us, any of us. We're here. You know, and if we don't understand it, please believe we're going to get together and get to understand it. Abba will give us understanding on the thing. He always ain't failed yet. You know, so if anything, be on the board. Even with those who who's in radio land, text it to somebody. Wendell, you got a question? Text it. Brother Bruce, got a question? Text it. You know, we'll get to understand. Yes, sir.
One of the things that just came to my mind when you talking about, you know, ask the question, you know, first of all, you know, as a single lady, the best thing to do is go to one married woman and ask them the question, that's their husband,
mm-hmm.
and put it out there.
Right.
To get the reason for them to approach you,
mm-hmm.
as being a single male when they can approach one of the women. You know, we don't want, you know, don't want that to contrary to the order.
Right.
And that's one of the things that came to my mind listening to everything is that's one of the problems with Israel is the fact that they don't want order.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to follow the structure that has been laid down in Scripture. And it's either they don't want to do it or they're not being led to that order.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you start following orders, the order or the structure, following the instructions is not that hard because you understand that this person is doing what they're supposed to do, which is passing it down to you, passing it down. Even when we're dealing with the teaching, you know, that was an order that was passed down. You know, the husband passed it down to the wife passed it down to the children, they have a question, they pose it to mom. The mom don't know the answer, then she poses it to the husband. You know, the husband don't understand, he'll pray, you know, ask for, you know, understanding, and, you know, and in the process of what he wants to talk to those that, you know, that the leaders in the congregation to get that answer. And we see various examples of that in the scripture itself,
mm-hmm.
where that structure is followed. That's interesting, you know. Coming over here today, you know, my wife posed that question to me.
Mm-hmm.
Asked me, do I, and she was saying, even to the most minute little thing, do I consult the father before I make that decision? And I said, yeah, but not all the time, you know. But then I, you know, I catch myself and say, oh, I mean, father, you know, and I go back because I should have posed it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of the things that we, as believers in the Torah, have to always be mindful of that structure that the Torah is teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And in light of, you know, like we were saying other times, when people come and visit,
mm-hmm.
that's one of the things I think that people don't, you know, have a problem with when they come amongst us, mm-hmm. is that order that we are striving to do. striving to understand,
mm-hmm.
because we want to be in line with the Torah. We
right.
want
good.
To be in line with Yeshua. We want to be in line with Yah, you know, because he showed that example when Yahushua came. He showed that example when he, you know, like an example that talking on the way over,
mm-hmm.
you know, how Yeshua said, I know you hear me, but I'm doing this for their sake.
Right.
So there's things that we as believers do to show that we are in the Torah so people can see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just going back to the point that you said earlier in regards to the teaching element,
mm-hmm.
and how what someone does and someone else see is a reflection, because ultimately that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a reflection of Yeshua. Yahushua,
mm-hmm.
you know, who's actually a reflection of the Father.
That's right.
So there's different things that are taught in the Scripture that we're constantly going over, and striving to be, like you say, little Messiah,
mm-hmm.
little reflections of what? That word, that thing that's constantly being shown to us,
mm-hmm.
getting back to what you said earlier in regards to the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to learn from the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
So just that was just a thought that came
to us. Sure. And I mean, that's, like you said, Israel's biggest problem. When we look through, when we read the Torah, Israel's biggest problem, order. You know, order. The priest, go seek the law at the priest's lips. Okay, we suck it, but we ain't going to do it.
Right.
We're going to say we're going to do it, but we ain't going to do it. Order. You know, it's the same story. You know, it's the same story.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, you know, nowadays you even have the whole question of revelation. Is Yahweh still revealing? And who's the priest? And who's this? And who's that? And it's like, man, so many questions. And it's just question after question after question. R.E.L. sent a thing out for Polite. And he was talking to one of the people from the Great Millstone. And what he was trying to do was, the guy from the Great Millstone was asking Polite, how do you teach your women? Because, you know, Polite's big thing is the Bible don't have a place for the black woman. You know, there's no goddesses in your Bible, so there's no deity. You know, there women aren't deified, and this, that, and another. So where's the black woman in the Bible? That's why you throw it away, and this, that, and another. So, you know, the guy was asking him, he was like, where'd you get this doctrine from? How do you teach your women? And he said some crap, some big words. He was like, okay, so where'd you get that from? And he was like, well, he said, okay, so what is that? And as he kept on saying, it all boiled down to, as he was talking about the plight of black people, how we could solve black people's problems. He said, what it all gets down to is that you have to integrate and differentiate. So what he said was, you should see the teacher's face. Integrate and differentiate. So let's say you have a problem, and it's like he said, you have this issue, and you put one thing into it, and it's working. You put two things into it, and it's working. But you put the third thing into it, and it's not working. Now you got to learn to take the third thing out so it's working. And he said, then he said something about you have three different color shirts, four different color pants, and five different color socks. How many different possibilities do you have of outfits? How many different outfits can you make from that combination? And that's what we have to do with black people problems. We have to put down all the problems, and we look at all the combinations of these problems, and then we have to go through and differentiate. And I'm sitting up there listening to this fool, and I'm going, how is he going to put down every problem that a racist people have? How? We have so many mental issues, have so many physical issues, economic issues. You just have issues after issues after issues. And There is no differentiation, because at the end of the day, you're still broke. At the end of the day, if you don't get the type of help you need to get rid of these mental problems, you're still there. But there is an answer. It's the word. It tells you how to deal with these mental problems. It tells you how you got finances. Okay, guess what? You're not going to be balling, but you're going to have what you need. I promise you that. You know, this is the answer. You know, but nobody wants to go through it. Nobody wants to sit up here and say, this is the answer. You know, everybody wants to write down what they can do physically. And in the end, if this group of people who run this planet decide to take your riches, they're going to take it. If they decide to educate you, they're going to do it. You know, because education is, I mean, it's a good thing, don't get me wrong, but they run it. They tell you the facts. You know? Yeah, the curriculum. They tell you what's what. You know? But yes, I thought Pluto was a planet. They switched it up on me. Pluto is not a planet. Pluto is a moon or a star or something like that.
They don't know what that is.
Right.
They don't know any of that. All this is speculation that they're putting in the
book. Nobody's been out there to see anything,
all of that is speculation.
No, first it was nine planets, now it's eight. You know, that's what they say. And that's what's written. You know? But until we get back to serving the Most High, we're going to have issues. You know? Until we get back to serving the Most High, we're going to have issues.
Yes, sir. I was saying the same thing. Okay. And then I actually wrote this down because of, you know, trying to prepare for my next 6 weeks. One of the topics I'm going to be heard them crying out. See, and that's the topic I have. I think that's an issue right there also. Who are they crying out to?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you talk about the black community, you talk about the different religious community. Who are they crying out to?
Mm-hmm.
Because we clearly see in the Torah that when they started crying out to Yah, what happened? He said he heard that cry.
Mm-hmm.
He heard that cry, and in the process, he formulated a plan on how he was going to get them up out of there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's where we have to go back to, because the scriptures say, hey, I'm going to put you back in, you know, I'm going to put you back in Egypt. Hey, I'm going to put you back in a level of slavery. I'm going to put you in a level of bondage.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to go back to the Torah and see what happened when they was in that first bondage. You know, when we talking about Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what did they do? What happened? He said, I'm going to put you back in that state. I mean, did he put us back in that state, or did we lead ourselves to that state all over again?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we have to learn something from it. But are we crying out to Yah? Are we crying out? As he said, what's the source of the correction? Like you said, it's the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But you have many people going to the scriptures, but they're going to the scriptures with their own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going into it with that spirit of trying to understand what the scriptures say versus going in there trying to form, you know, make the scripture formulate what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a, you know, another thing that comes to my mind in regards to, you know, Israel coming together and Israel getting out of the state, or the black man getting out of the state. Because first of all, the black man don't even, black man in America, I'm going to go that route.
Mm-hmm.
Black man in America really don't know who he is. And he picking and choosing and saying, okay, this must be my way.
Mm-hmm.
This must be my way. This must be my way. And they're using the scriptures to be, okay, this is me. I'm gonna make this be me based on Islam.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna make this be me based on Christianity. I'm gonna make this be me based on Hindu. You know. Like we, you know, one of the things we you know, we're learning here is Yahweh, Yahushua. You know, and once we acknowledge who came before Father is and who the Son is, then things will come to your understanding. Like I think it was mentioned earlier, how he has sent that Spirit back to give you understanding of what you're doing, give you that encouragement of what you're doing, protect you as you're doing his laws and his statutes and his judgments and, you know, and going through life experiences, you know, because that's how we learn the Torah, by our experiences through the Torah, with the Torah. Another thing that comes to my mind is a scripture that says, you know, how do you show your faith? You show your faith through your works, and the works of the law, the works of the tree. Now, you don't show your faith by just sitting around doing nothing. And I think, you know, and what are people doing? They're sitting around doing nothing because they're getting caught up in their own selfish desires and their own thoughts and other people's opinions versus what thus saith Yahweh. Just another thought, you know, just what's being said.
Think about what happened this week. That little 7-year-old girl died. Taylor, I think her last name was Paige, I think.
Yeah.
Little girl got killed. Got shot in the back. Her mother was there. My understanding, she had drugs in the car. Supposed to have been probably everybody thinking it's a drug deal going bad. She's not cooperating.
No.
The words say, you're supposed to tell these folks, tell on these folks who do these things. You know? So now, her baby dead. Community pissed off. I mean, because they had a real... Baltimore had a real issue with this. A lot of people were speaking out about this. A lot of people really upset about this. Because, you know, when stuff happens to your babies, you know, don't nobody, everybody has a heart for that. You know, it's not like it's, that's like an everyday thing where, oh, well, this person got killed. Dang. No, you're talking about a 7-year-old child, you know. And I'm not saying that a person's life is different as they get older or this, that, or another, but they hit you harder when they're young, you know. They hit you harder when they're young. And for you, so more than likely know who did this, and you're not looking to get them, have them in front of the courts to stand for this. That's ludicrous to me. That's like ludicrous to me. And I understand fear. I understand all that stuff. But guess what? At the end of the day,
right, and that's what comes to my mind. Because this is not the first child that
right.
has gotten killed in this situation within a community. You know, that you know, and 2 weeks. Now, I hate to say this, in 2 weeks, that thing will be a thing of the past.
Yep.
And the thing about it is, you know, it's happened down the street from where I work at.
Mm-hmm.
So that means they had a little visual and all that stuff up and down, down on the corner when I was coming past. I was like, oh, that must be for the little girl that passed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, that's dealing with the state of Israel.
Right.
You know, and like I said, this is not the first little kid.
Oh.
You know, and then the mother, you know, why is she not going to, you know, because she might be trying to intimidate herself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you live in a certain lifestyle, that's the consequence of that particular lifestyle. You know, so we can sit here and say, yeah, why, you know, why the mother might not be saying nothing because she incriminated herself.
That's true. You know, it's a host of reasons why.
I'm trying to think about what you were saying, or not what you were saying, with this life forever. All that was said there. But when you're talking about dealing with individuals, because that's what you're dealing with, you're dealing with individuals. If this person does not want to change, I don't care what you're talking about. This person has to be willing to make that change. That's why nothing's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You got people out there who feel, people out there who feel that they are supposed to be loyal to the street life or thug life or whatever you want to call it, and they ain't going to make no changes.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to complain, like the brother said, a couple weeks, a couple minutes are going to use that as a nice little piece of their sermon to get people fired up, and people want to say do this and do that. But after that, it's going to die down, and they're going to continue with normal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to happen. because it happens over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be a 7-year-old. It can be a 24-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it still has the same impact. It don't make a difference how young or old they are, you know. But the community as a whole is not going to change. That's it.
And it's real interesting because, you know, like you said, you know, the 7-year-old, you know, like I said, I work over in that area. And, you know, they killing people like left and right over there.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the patients that comes in the clinic, I think maybe about 2 months ago, a mature woman and a young woman got killed.
Mm-hmm.
This was this man's wife and niece or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he coming in, he's still dealing with that because he lost his wife and somebody else to this same bull crap in this particular neighborhood. You know, he's in the process of trying to move out of the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he doesn't want to be there any longer. But these things are constantly happening in certain communities, and the community in itself is not trying to change anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have the police presence down there in that area, but it still ain't stopping nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end, we live in a corrupt society. We have corrupt people on the police force.
Mm-hmm.
We got people on the police force that's so numb, you know, and I'm coming from, you know, from the perspective of where I used to work at. You get people that become numb to the situation or the numb to the occupation that they have chosen,
mm-hmm.
and they get to the point where they're going to do that anyway. You know, let me just deal with the direct thing that I see right here in front of me. You know, I'll try to make sure that I have a safe shift and hopefully nothing happens on my shift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then, you know, people become numb. You know, so that's what's happening within our community.
Mm-hmm. So the compassion gone.
Well, we were at it last night. Evelyn 28:15 through. I mean, he read the whole chapter, but
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to read these verses, 15-20. But it shall come to pass if you will not listen to Yahweh, your mighty one's voice, to observe all His commandments and His statutes which I command today, that all these curses will come on you and overtake you. I'm just going to stop right there because
mm-hmm.
that says it all.
Mm-hmm.
It don't make a difference what they do, you know. I mean, you can have your vigils, you can have your little gatherings at the community center, and you can talk about all the problems, but if you are not, as a community, going to turn back to the Creator, that's why it's not nothing going to happen.
That's right.
Because they're not going to take the necessary steps for things to happen. You see? And this is the way we got to go. You know, these are the results of Israel turning their back on the people. So we got to go. We got to lose our kids in the street.
Mm-hmm.
This is the consequence of not turning to the group.
Mm-hmm.
You know what just came to my mind? You know, because, you know, it says offering our kids, you know, through the fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the turmoil that's going in the community, what's happening? Kids are being offered.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are being offered. Why? Because the community is constantly serving the adversary. Constantly serving the adversary. And that's one of the things that you do for the adversary is offer your kids up. Offer your kids and putting your kids in bad situations.
Mm.
And that's what's happening out here. People are, you know, unknowingly putting their kids to the fire because of their lack of instructions to the kids, lack of teaching the kids the ways of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have these churches, and you know, they have churches all around them,
mm-hmm.
and they go to these churches, but what's up in the pulpit? Them people in them pulpits are not teaching the people to turn back to the Torah.
They're not.
They're not. You know, regardless, they're not teaching the people to go back, turn back to the Torah. And even in the Israelite community, they're not teaching, no, thus saith the Torah, thus saith the Torah, thus saith the Torah.
Amen.
You know, because that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when we look at the Torah, look at the scripture from Genesis to Malachi, I mean Genesis to Revelation, he's talking to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Israel, get yourself right. Israel, this is what you're going to go through. Israel, you know, Israel has to get it right so that the nations can come to understand what they must do to get right.
Israel is not going to get right till Messiah comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, everybody feels, I mean, even when you look at the division, the reason why there's a division, well, how do you know that what you're saying is right? You know? So it's going to take the Creator,
mm-hmm.
you know, to say, this is what I mean. Even in our case, you know, whatever it is, if there be anything that we are doing that we shouldn't be doing, I mean, and I'm not talking about that, I'm not talking about a sin, I'm mm-hmm. talking about an interpretation. So if there's something that we need to change and we're not changing, or if there's something that we're unaware of that we're not doing, prayerfully, I will bring it to our senses.
Mm-hmm.
But even when it comes to us, when Messiah returns, that's the end of it. Any question anybody has, he's going to put an end to it.
Right.
You know, because right now, when you're dealing with men, men have this mindset. And years ago, I was yet gravitating to that mindset. Fortunately, I was pulling away from it. So I'm a man just like you're a man. You know, and many people got that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a man just like you're a man. Well, when you're dealing with servants and a creator, you're not just dealing, and I believe that's one of the points that Murray was bringing out last night. You're not just dealing with an average old man now.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with a servant or a creator. You're dealing with somebody who has been instructed and given a word. You're not just dealing with an average man. You're dealing with a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, you may be dealing with more than a prophet. And that's what Israel don't get. When they see a person, they just look at it, they're just a man. It's like, I can read, you know, I can interpret.
Mm-hmm.
I got ideas just like you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who to say that you right? So until the Creator really says, psh, you know, nothing's really going to change for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have those who are going to believe in the message because they have faith in that word. And you got those who that's not. That's it's going to continue this way to the Messiah. You know, all we can do is just do what we know to do is right. Whatever Torah we understand, whatever instruction we understand, live your life according to those instructions, and Yahweh is going to add more things. You know, but it's all, and I think another point that may be disturbing is, could I get disturbed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you feel like, what's it all for? I mean, if you feel like it's a waste of time, you know, I mean, putting all this information out there, and nobody really cares, you know. But those who hunger and thirst for righteousness do care. And it's not going to be a whole lot of people.
Right.
You know, I think when I think what happens is when we look at the world, and we look at, you know, you have congregations that fill stadiums, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They build an auditorium like stadiums. I mean, churches look like things.
Mm-hmm.
You see all these people out there filling these places, and in your mind, you're thinking, wow, they all gathering to hear a bunch of lies.
Yep.
Because that's what they're doing.
Loving
they're not
lie.
Being taught the truth. They're being taught a bunch of foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all, like you said, you go in the inner city, you got churches, literally churches on just about every corner, every other corner.
Mm-hmm.
But these people ain't teaching them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's why nothing's changing. You know, they keep getting the same. You're out there teaching. You don't have to keep the commandments of the Creator. You don't have to. So why are they going to keep them? If I don't have to keep the Creator commandments, what makes you think I'm going to keep this man law?
Right.
I don't even have to obey the highest authority. What makes you think I'm going to submit to the man and his constitution? Wow. But they don't even realize the damage that they do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to obey the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob anymore. All you got to do is believe in Jesus, and everything's going to be all right for you.
Mm-hmm.
All your bills are going to be paid. All your ailments are going to be healed. That's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
We have an obligation to walk according to a particular set of instructions.
Right?
That's what he came for, because if it wasn't doing that, so I had to make a sacrifice. I had to make a wish, you know, anyway. It's a lot that the people just unaware of, you know. And for Israel as a people, I mean, even back in the day, when you get people out, some people are very adamant about what they do because they just feel strongly about it.
Mm-hmm.
It may not even be something that Mosiah said, but because they have this personal attachment to it, that's why they're going to run with it. Because I feel, and society adds to that, you know, do what you like. Just do it.
That's right.
You know, what makes you, you got to do what makes you happy, girl. You got to do what makes you feel good. You know, that's, and that's what everybody's thinking at. What makes them feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when it comes to serving a clicker, it ain't about what feels good to you. You know, that's the bitter part. Nobody wants that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody wants the bitter. Everybody wants the honey. But nobody knows what comes after it.
Right.
You know? I was watching this movie, and people heard it before, but the way that they said it, it was very interesting. And give it a good point. And they were talking about weddings. And the point that was being made is that when people are getting married, people put a lot of money, a lot of effort into the wedding. This is just one day.
Mm-hmm.
That day going to just be a distant memory. But they don't put that type of time and dedication into the marriage.
All right.
And then, wow, that's what people do. Everybody gets amped up for that one day. It's going to pass and be a memory. But what are you going to do when it comes to what that day is supposed to symbolize? Are you going to put as much effort into that marriage? And that's what everybody's doing, you know? And I use that as an analogy to what we need to be doing, you know? Everybody's trying to put a lot of effort into, you know, what's going to make them happy. What we need to be doing is putting a lot of effort into that ongoing relationship we are supposed to be establishing with the community. That's where the effort needs to be, and that's what people don't want to do. They want a God who they can go out and do whatever they want to do. And when I got a Father help me, and they get the little blessing and a little help, and then they just go back to doing what they want to do. That's what people want. People don't really want to submit to the Creator. You know, I listen to people on my job who talk about the Creator. And periodically, I'll give me the opportunity to just drop a little bit here and there. And it's like, they do this. Yeah, well, you know, they hear, okay. And it's like, okay, society, everything is such a norm for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people just talk, you know, so freely about, hey, I went to a crab feed tonight. But do you realize that the Creator said you're supposed to eat that?
That's
but you're doing so freely, though. That's the world that we live in. And that shit is there. And it affects us.
Mm-hmm.
Because it comes into the congregation. Why does it come into the congregation? Well, who are we working with? We're working with these people 24/7, 40 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
So some of that rubs off on us, and we bring it in here. You know? We don't realize that's what we're doing because we're subjected to it so often. We don't really see how the adversary is beating us down.
Coming,
you're beating that mind down.
You become, I work with onions a lot, so I don't smell onion on it, but other people can smell it on you.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, you're kind of desensitized to it. Or,
exactly.
Yeah, so I had to ask, do I smell like onion? Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, but you don't know because you're so used to the smell. You're so used to that smell.
Exactly.
And it kind of bypasses your sense, so to speak.
Now, take that. Now, what do you think happens? Because when you talk about being a servant of the Most High, we live in a world that outnumbers us. What is the impact of living in a world, not just going to work? When you go to the store, the majority of the people in the store don't believe what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you go in the world, the majority of the people do not believe what you believe. The only time you get into a place where people believe what you believe is when you come here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time. You're not around believers with the sun. You're around people that's connected to the adversary. The majority of the time in your life, that impacts you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes this day so important. This is where we come to get the cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to get something to help take all of that experience, like you said, that we've been going through. When the sun sets at night, we enter into the secular days of the week, we back into it.
Mm-hmm.
In some instances, even in our households. I mean, it's incarcerated in your household because your neighborhood, 9 times out of 10, you got neighbors on the side, you got neighbors on the front or on the back. 9 times out of 10, they are not believers. You're surrounded by it 24/7. And like you say, sometimes we in it so much, we don't realize we're smelling like onions. So at some point, we got to think about it. Before, when you go into that tabernacle, you got to first be willing to give ourselves as a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing you come across like that, you
bath.
Need to wash out,
mm-hmm.
clean up. Because it means before they put that garb on, they had to wash up. And then when they took the garb off, they had to wash up again.
Mm-hmm.
Clean it. You know, I mean, what are we getting off of it? The world. Because it'll stick on, too. And you know, when you were young, and nowadays, when I was young, I didn't smell it because you was outside.
Mm-hmm.
But your grandmother or your mother, 4 years ago, walked up, you smell like outside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I heard that when they running up and down the street, they coming out, they smell like they out. They smell like the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You need to clean that up. But because you planned on it, you really thought that was a good point. But experience. Why does that happen? Are we using something that we experience to teach us spiritual truth? What's going to happen when you interact with these people like that? You're going to get that smell.
Mm.
And you're talking about smell, that's spirit.
Right.
That's all our spirit, because you can't see it. You can smell it. That's spiritual truth. See?
Mm-hmm.
That's something spiritual that happens. So you got to be mindful of a lot of things that we do.
That's why I studied it before. You know. You know, Albert didn't leave us in the past, but
we could.
You know, as long as we take hold of his instructions and, you know, really show what, really pay attention to the things he showed us.
You got to carry Abba with you throughout the weekend. And if we can do that, we can be all right,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we need that to survive what we got to go through, you know, because we are surrounded consistently by the adversary. And I'm talking about, see, not just the flesh. The mind is constantly bombarded,
mm-hmm.
constantly. I mean, you can't listen to anything and not be bombarded. You can't watch anything. I mean, there's nothing that you can do in this world and not be bombarded. That's why you need something to protect you. You know, like we used to say, guard your gate, guard your gate, guard your gate. You got to continue to do that. You know, because the adversary, he ain't letting up. He ain't sleeping. We sleep, he don't sleep. While we sleep, but he's figuring out ways to get in. That's what he does. He's figuring out ways to get in. You know, the way that he
does. Well, we was finished. You know, unless somebody else got anybody got anything that they want to speak about, speak on? Hmm? Alright. Okay, ends this Torah Parasha. I mean, not to abortion day. There's the class. And cool, too. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one. And trustworthy are your words. Now one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, but you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed be you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.
Good.
Dr. L, would you close us out, please?
Hallelujah.
Bishop Joshua. Holy Father, holy one of it. Through your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon-coming King, we beseech the Heavenly Father to please give ear to our prayer, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we thank you for the blessing of life
that you've given to each and every one of us who are present. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the life that you've blessed our loved ones with, Heavenly Father. We praise you and we thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to gather in this place for your holy Sabbath day, that we may stand before you, Heavenly Father, that we you may receive instruction, that we may receive edification, Heavenly Father, that we be strengthened by your word to continue and carry on. Gracious and merciful Father, we ask that you cleanse each and every one of us by the blood of your Son of our iniquities, which we have committed against you knowingly and unknowingly. Heavenly Father, we ask you to forgive each and every one of us for the sin that we have committed against you knowingly and unknowingly. We pray for strength by your Spirit that we may all continue in your word, that we may all submit to your will, Heavenly Father, that we may all be obedient to your voice. And as the Moray asked earlier, Heavenly Father, we ask you, we seek to send forth chastisement when we go astray to the right or to the left, so that we remain faithful to thee through your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are ailing physically, mentally, spiritually. Lead us and guide us above all things, Heavenly Father, that we may stay the course upon the narrow and straight path of righteousness. We humbly and sincerely submit this in the name of your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer. We pray for those who are present, those who are en route, those who are gathered together across this world, Heavenly Father, in honor of your holy Sabbath day. May your blessing fall upon each and every one of us, and may you continue to bless Moray as he brings forth your Torah later on this Sabbath day. Beshem Yahushua. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.